take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Hosea, chapter 2. Hosea, chapter 2. We'll read verses 5 through 7 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Hosea, chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. Preacher has also requested, when we're done, keep your Bibles open so that he can refer to it often while he's preaching this evening. And you'll be needing your Bibles open to this passage. Hosea chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. Hosea chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. For their mother hath played the harlot, she that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, and make a wall that she shall not find her path. And let's finish reading on verse 7 together. Ready? And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. And let's pray. Father, you've been so good to us. Lord, your presence has been here. Lord, we are truly a busy place. All the activity of the week and soul winning and Sunday schools and the sports and the getting ready for school and the so many different things that are happening. And yet, we're so thankful that we get to gather in your house, kind of sit in your living room and let the preacher preach and teach your word to us. Now, Father, please help us tonight. Fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts and our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The name of that song is Lift Him Up, just so you know. Tonight, I have entitled the sermon, A Hedge of Thorns for Your Marriage. The first thing I want to do, though, is I want to give you the Ten Commandments of Marriage. If you've never heard them, I want you to listen to them. Commandment number one, marriages are made in heaven, but so also is thunder and lightning. Commandment number two, if you want your wife to listen and pay strict attention to every word you say, just talk in your sleep. Commandment number three, marriage is grand, and divorce is about $3,000. Commandment number four, married life is very frustrating. In the first year of marriage, the man speaks and the woman listens. In the second year, the woman speaks and the man listens. In the third year, they both speak and the neighbors can hear. Commandment number five, when a man opens the door of his car for his wife, you can be sure one thing, either it's a new car or it's a new wife. Commandment number six, marriage is when a man and a woman become as one. The trouble really starts when they try to decide which one. Commandment number seven, before marriage, a man will lie awake all night thinking about something his wife said. After marriage, he will fall asleep before she even finishes talking. Okay. Commandment number eight. Every man wants a wife who is beautiful, understanding, economical, and a good cook. But the law only allows for one wife at a time. Commandment number nine. Marriage and love are purely a matter of chemistry. That's why the wife treats the husband like toxic waste. And commandment number 10, a man is incomplete until he is married, and after that, he's just finished. Well, the passage of scripture that we shared together earlier, Hosea chapter 2, there's a very interesting story. Hosea chapter 2, verse number 6, it says, therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. Here it mentions a hedge of thorns. In the Bible, a hedge was a type of protection. So when you hear it referring to a hedge, that hedge was supposed to be a place or a type of protection. A hedge of bushes acted like a fence or a wall. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 5, it says this, "And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down." See, a hedge here is compared to a wall. When the hedge about this vineyard was taken away, the vineyard, it was eaten up. The wild animals could get to it, and the vineyard then was unprotected. The hedge in the Bible was a type of protection. In Mark chapter 12, verse number 1, it says, "And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set an hedge about it." Now here, a hedge is built around a vineyard. And the context of the scripture there tells us that it was all about then that vineyard producing fruit. No protection or hedge, probably no fruit. A little protection, maybe a little fruit. Great protection meant great fruit for that vineyard. But the hedge was there as a protection. Now, let me take you to the two main characters from this passage of scripture that we read in Hosea chapter 2. There's a couple here. Their names are Hosea and Gomer. Now, this is not Gomer Pyle for you fans of Gomer Pyle. Let me tell you about these people here. This is a young, they started out, I'm sure, as a young couple. I'm sure that they, Hosea and Gomer, they looked at each other and liked each other, and they began to spend some time together. They maybe began to talk about what could possibly be in their future. And eventually, one night, Hosea decides to pop the question. He more than likely got on his knee. He probably had sweaty palms and maybe had a ring. And he asked her, said, "Gomer, I love you, and I want you to be my wife." Let me say this here. Folks, so often we see characters in the Bible. Somehow we don't allow them to be human. This is a true story. Hosea and Gomer were real people. And when you see it, that this far more real than all that stuff from Hollywood that we tend to believe, this happened. So I think he got on his knee and he proposed, and she was all excited and flattered, and she accepted the proposal. And probably like any other bride, she began to plan her wedding. She'd dreamed of it since she was a little girl. And they planned and planned and planned, and they went through a rehearsal, and then they got married. And I don't know where he took her on her honeymoon, but they had a special honeymoon. And then the Bible says they had some children, probably bought a house or however they lived in those days. They found a dwelling. And then the Bible says somewhere along the way here, they got busy. Their marriage began to grow apart. One day, Hosea went home from work and he found a note on the table. And Gomer had left him. She had walked out on him. Gomer left Hosea. And Gomer went to another man. That one man then led to yet another. And then she left that one and yet another. Let me say to everybody here, sin always takes you farther than you want to go. It keeps you longer than you want to stay. And it costs you more than you want to pay. Here she is. At one point, just like some of you young married couples, that it was fresh. It was fun. It was exciting. It was a dream come true. But somehow, through the process of time, through the wear and the tear of the devil, and through the wear and the tear of this world, their marriage and their relationship deteriorated to the point he went home, his wife was gone, he found that letter, and she had gone out and ran off with another man, and she didn't expect it would happen this way, but from that man to another man, and yet to another man, and the Bible actually teaches she became a prostitute. Didn't start out that way. She didn't expect that. That wasn't her ultimate goal, but that's what happened. Her husband was at home taking care of the kids. And as the story goes, he wanted his wife back. He wanted his wife to come home. The passage of scripture that we read earlier from Hosea chapter 2, the Bible says that this husband named Hosea prayed a prayer asking God to put a hedge of thorns about his wife for her protection, for the possibility of the salvaging of their marriage. Now, I'm going to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you about that hedge of thorns. I'm going to start out at a very obvious but a little bit of a pungent point here, and let me say this. Number one, if your mate ever leaves you for another person or just leaves you, come to this scripture, pray a hedge of thorns about your mate. You've got your Bible open there, and Hosea chapter 2 verse 6, notice it says, and make a wall. You see those four words there? There's that protection. Why did Hosea pray a hedge of thorns about his wife? If I could, it's a spiritual and visible hedge that he was begging God to put this hedge or wall of protection about his wife. It says here in verse number 6, and not find her paths. In other words, her wicked plans, he did not want them to work out. Hosea was praying and saying, God, please, if you will, put that hedge of thorns about my wife, keep her safe, make it so these plans where she's going around these men, make it so they can't get to her or her to them, keep her safe. Look at verse number 7, it says, and she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband. For then was it better with me than now. You see, this hedge of thorns, she may chase after this other guy, but he won't be interested. That was part of the deal of this hedge of thorns. Or maybe she'll lose interest in this other man. She may seek a new partner, but not find one. Or maybe she'll even come to the point where she says, I'll go and return to my first husband. So Hosea prayed a prayer, and he said, God, my wife has forsaken me. She's left me. She's out running around, and if you don't mind, she's out whoring around and out living for the physical. And he said, dear God, please put a hedge, a protection about my wife. Make those men that would be her lovers to lose interest in her. Help her to lose interest in them, and send my wife home safely. In verse number 7, it says, for then was it better with me than now. Hosea said, I prayed, and it may be that she'll come to her senses, and as a result of it, she'll wake up and say, you know what? I had it better back home with my husband. My life's a mess now. Look at the wreck and the ruin of my life. He was saying, and in this passage, that God would make her miserable. And not for the purpose of making her miserable, but for the purpose of her coming home. Sharp hedge of thorns. And any prospective boy, whether this is a male or a female that we're talking about here, somehow that prospective boyfriend or girlfriend will lose interest and say, I don't want anything to do with that. The life will become miserable for them. God hedges her about. Why? Hosea was saying, hedge my wife about God to protect her for you, protect her for me, and protect her from her own backslidden ways. Let me say to all of you, if your mate ever leaves you, you get to this scripture right away and say, oh dear God, put a hedge of protection about my mate. And let me say this also. If you say, well, that'll never happen to me, don't be a Pharisee. Anything that anyone else is capable of, so are you. You better thank God for the mercy and the grace and the kindness of God that has held your marriage together. And the people here that have suffered through some of these things, you ought to pray for them and be for them. And I thank God that our God told us we're all a bunch of sinners. Now, I say, though, number one, if your mate ever leaves you for another person, or just leaves, pray a hedge of thorns about them. Number two, I think that every married couple should work at building hedges of protection about their marriage. Not only could we pray and ask God to produce what I'll call this invisible spiritual hedge of thorns, as I just described the story of the prayer of Hosea about Gomer, but I think married people, you ought to be working about putting up some walls of protection, some hedges of thorn that would help to protect your marriage. And this is where the sermon will get far more practical now. I think you better build a hedge of kindness for each other. Speak kindly to one another. There's way too much tension in marriages. We do not have to raise our voices. Learn in your home and learn with your husband and learn with your wife to say please. Learn to say thank you. Learn to serve one another. You say, what am I doing? You're building a hedge. Now listen to me. I don't want it to come to the point where you must pray to get a hedge that somebody else will lose interest in your mate. I want to keep you inside the hedge. Let you and I build some hedges and keep our marriages safe within those walls. Safe within the wall of what? Some kindness. You know something? Kindness in a marriage builds up a hedge, and that will keep it safe from outside intruders. You listen to me, sir. If other men are going to be nicer to your wife than you are, she may be tempted. Right. Ladies, if all you're doing is griping and complaining, you make it hard on him, some woman's liable to come along and be good to him. You'll be sorry. Right. Build the hedge. Build it strong. And you do it with kindness. Right. Learn to serve one another. Mrs. Owens and I, every morning we get up 7 days a week. The best part of waking up is Folgers in the cup. We get up every day and have a cup of coffee, and it is a race to see who gets to prepare the coffee for the other. She is so kind, she lets me win every morning. She knows of my competitive spirit. She's never let me down. I go in and I say, honey, I've got your coffee ready right here. Now, I drink mine black. She drinks hers like chocolate milk. But we try to serve each other in this aspect. We prepare one another's toothbrushes. Man told me once, I wouldn't be letting my wife mess with my toothbrush. Last time I heard, she uses it to clean the toilet. And we don't want that to happen. We help Mrs. Owens and I take vitamins, and we help one another in the morning to prepare for the day. We start out. I mean, the very first thing we do when we get up in regard to one another is to do something for the other. And it sets a pretty good pace for the day. Listen, build a hedge of kindness for the sake of your marriage. And be patient. You used to be far more patient with one another. Then don't be kinder to some other man or some other woman than you are to your own mate. You learn to express and to practice kindness in your home. Say, I love you, and mean it, and slow down. My church, you hear me say this once or twice a year. I believe every married couple needs to slow down, and often. You need to look one another in the eyes, and you need to say the words, I love you, without saying any words. Look long, look deep. Look hard into your mate's eyes, long enough to search way down inside them. Let them see your heart. Slow down. Do what? We're building a hedge about our marriage. I would like for you to build the hedge so nobody intrudes and gets into it. I don't want you to have to pray, dear God, build a hedge around my husband or my wife. They left me. No, I'd rather you stay right inside that hedged up area and stay safe. You say, how am I going to do it? Build your hedge up with what? Kindness. Kindness. I want to recommend that you build a hedge about your marriage by proper finances. Folks, there's no way to me to describe it. I'll promise you, so frequently in marriage when there is tension, it has to do with money. Don't spend ridiculously. Oh, and it obviously be easy for man to say, you ladies, you take them credit cards and you go out and buy a bunch of things you don't need. It's sad, but this day and age, it's almost equal. Men will waste money and women will waste money and they don't have control over their money spending. You get it together now, you'll destroy your marriage. You'll destroy your marriage. We know that the economy, we've seen some struggles. You're going to have to act accordingly. Somebody may have to back off on how you're spending. Money's not as available as it used to be. And listen, if you've got financial problems, get over this thing of casting blame. Let's just decide to pull together as a team and fix it and get it together so you can be happy. It may be that somebody here needs to cut up your credit cards. Just so you know, you're to control them. They're not to control you. If you're to the point where you're transferring from one credit card to another to pay off those balances, you're in deep. You're in deep. Hey, stop fussing over money. Organize your income. Organize your outgo. Figure it out. Get some help if you need to, but you better build a hedge about your marriage. You'll build it with kindness. You'll build it with proper handling of your finances. Let me say number three. Build a hedge about your marriage by proper and good conversation. There's no doubt you need to make sure you have time to talk. You need to converse. Most every adulterous affair starts with talking. Somebody else listened. Most people that commit adultery did not plan on sleeping with someone. They just started talking, and somebody had a sympathetic ear, and one thing led to another. I'm just warning you now, men, give her a listening ear. Ladies, make sure you slow down long enough to listen to him, and you need to take time to talk. I would say this. I would say never should you speak of your private intimacies with anyone other than your mate. In this day and in this age, let me make it clear, your physical relationship is not entertainment for the guys down at the shop. Shop talk about your wife is wrong. Dirty jokes that men want to tell that, and include your wife shouldn't happen. You say, we're just laughing, yeah? And when they see it, the next shop outing, they'll be checking around, and you'll wonder why. It's because you were telling jokes about her and jokes about her body, and ladies, wouldn't think I'd ever have to say anything like this. They used to talk about a man cussing like a sailor. Now you got to watch out for men that cuss like women. But ladies, you shouldn't be talking filthy talk at work about your husband or about your physical relationship. We're talking about conversation now. You need to have conversation, but you need to protect conversation. What are we doing? We're hedging up our marriage. We're building a hedge about our marriage. We're making it so evil doesn't get in. We're building a wall of protection. We do it. We build that wall by being kind. We build that wall by practicing proper finances. We build that wall by letting the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in His sight, our Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. And you got to make sure you got to have time to talk. And when you're out and about, don't talk with other people about wrong kind of things. You know, for somebody in here, you need to hear me say this. You need to stop cussing at each other. Number one, it's wrong to cuss. You need to stop cussing your wife and cussing your husband. That's wrong. That's very wrong. Some of you need to learn to stop disagreeing so much in the presence of your children. If Mrs. Owens and I had disagreements, we did our very best to take those disagreements to private and talk them out. We wanted the children not to be watching us. Look, you're destroying one another's authority in the presence of your children. Go somewhere and solve it and come back out and let the children see that you're grown, mature adults and that you were able to solve the problem without a yelling and screaming and cussing and throwing blame. And you know, something else, you do not have to express or voice all your disagreements. Did you know you could disagree with your husband and never say? You know, most fusses are started over the stupidest, smallest little things. But, you know, just bite your tongue. You say, well, my opinion is, you don't have to say everything that's your opinion. Well, I'm just a person that likes to express my opinion. Well, we all are. Some have enough sense to keep their tongue in their mouth. If everybody expressed all their opinions all the time, we'd kill each other. That's why some of you don't get along at home. You're so opinionated, always giving your opinion, always giving your opinion. In most cases, your opinion, if you just let it pass, give it a 5-second hop over, forget about it and go on, you'd straighten up some of the fussing in your home. Hey, ask yourself this question. Is what I'm about to say really necessary? Do I have to say it? But I say, build a hedge about your marriage by appropriate conversation and controlling your conversation. Let me give you another. Build your hedge around the two of you. Your husband, wife, you're a team. You're a unit. Don't let anybody come between you. Never should your friends come between you and your spouse. Never. And any friend that tries to is the wrong kind of a friend. Your friends are, that's a secondary relationship. Those of you that recently got married, you better understand your best friend in the world is the one that slipped a ring on your finger. and you become best friends and you're confidants and you stick together. I know some people, I know women that would rather date their girlfriends than date their husband. Something wrong with that. Something wrong with them in more ways than one. Don't let your brothers and sisters get involved in your marital relationship and mess it up. I watched a marriage destroyed because two brothers were so close, one could not separate from the other in regard to his time and his wife's needs. Destroyed their marriage. Brothers were just so close. He spent more time partying and running around with his brother than he did his own wife. And she was offended by it. Don't let your brothers, don't let your sisters come between you. Don't let your parents come between you. One of the biggest problems in marriage are the outlaws, the in-laws. Now, some people have wonderful in-laws. Some people get along very well with those in-laws. But let me tell you something. Your marital relationship is to be a priority. The Bible says you are to leave mom and dad and cleave to your mate. I'm not saying you can't have a relationship with moms and dads. I am saying your priority is your relationship. There are people in here, you are going to allow your parents or your wife's parents to destroy your marriage. You stick together with your husband and wife. That doesn't mean your husband and wife are always right, but they're always your husband and wife. Don't let your kids come between you. Don't let your kids come between you. Any child that would drive a wedge between mom and dad, some of you better wake up and realize there are teenagers that will play mom against dad and dad against mom. There are some of you, you won't take two steps away from your kids. The last time you were alone with your wife, it was so many years ago, you've not been alone. You're going to need a little bit of time alone. Get a little time alone. You're going to need that. But don't let your kids become so important to you that they take a priority over your marital relationship. Don't let another man or another woman, don't let them ever come between you. Folks, let me recommend that you never allow yourself to flirt. And ladies, men, never allow yourself to be flirted with. You like that temptation, you like the thrill, the energy of it. Let me say this. Ladies, some man flirts with you, let him know that it disgusts you. If some man's checking you out rather than enjoying it, you ought to let him know that to you that's inappropriate. Turn and march away. Don't sit there and let him bask in your beauty. If you have any sense, you ought to make it clear that you don't want that kind of attention. I have a policy, and I've done this, and my wife and I practice this. We just don't find ourselves alone in a vehicle with anybody other than the one we're married to. Our family, we just don't find ourselves out there alone with the opposite sex. We're protecting. We've built a hedge around our marriage. And even this, we help a lot of people here at our church. Every one of you that help people, you're going to have to learn. You married people, when you go to helping people and you want to express your love and your care for them, always, when you're expressing your love and concern and care to the opposite sex, you always pull your mate into it. Mrs. Owens and I, when we want to, if I wanted to say to a lady that I cared about her, I would say to her, I want you to know, Mrs. Owens and I care about you. I never want to build up an inappropriate relationship in somebody else's mind. And you say, well, you're just too cautious. You can call me whatever you want to call me. I want to stay married all the way to the end. I want to do it right. I don't want to take any chances. And so just learn how to be appropriate. Men, I would say this, and every man in here, we have men that do some counseling and things. I don't know any way to say it other than this. If some gal comes to you for counsel, and in any way you have an attraction to her, don't counsel her. Just don't take a chance. You say, but wonder if she needs help. Don't take a chance. If you looked at her and you said, boy, she's a good-looking gal, don't counsel her. And slap yourself in the head and say, I got me a wife, and I'm going to stay true. Don't be allowing yourself to check out the opposite sex. Guard your eyes. Guard your eyes. I would say this. You better be careful having any deep friendships with the opposite sex, especially if you're married. You say, well, they're liable to be offended. Well, that's not the intent here, but you better protect your marriage. I'd wear your wedding ring so everybody can see them. You say, Brother Owens, mine's so small, nobody can see it. Men, buy her a bigger ring. Amen. Be careful running around with a bunch of single people all the time when you're married. Single men are looking for wives, and single women are looking for husbands, and married people, they're done taking. It's over, buddy. You're not in the market anymore. Single people behave differently than married people. And be careful running with unhappily married people. And I'm not telling you to forsake him, but I'm just going to tell you. If you are sitting around all day long talking to some woman that despises her husband and can't stand to be married and doesn't like to submit, she's going to affect you, honey. She's going to affect you. If you're spending all your time with some man that's always dogging his wife and always mad and calling her the old lady, won't be long, you're going to have a sour attitude. What are we talking about? Building a hedge. Build a hedge about the two of you. Hey, build a hedge around your home and your family. You need to pray together. You need to go to church together. As some of you work as hard as you can to ride to church together. I love my new pickup truck. I've got my new Chevy pickup truck out here. The only thing that I don't like about it, it's got bucket seats in the front, not a bench seat. I like it when Mrs. Owens sits on my lap when I'm driving. Yeah, I do. I think it's the very first time that, well, our car has bucket seats, but I think next go around, even if it costs $5,000, I want a bench seat. Why? We want to be closer. We like riding together. We like being together. I know not everybody's schedule accommodates that, but you ought to want it to. You ought to want it to. Hey, in church, some of you are going to get mad at me, but it wouldn't hurt every once in a while for you, your whole family to sit together in church. It helped me with some of the church services because some of you kids act up and I got to call them down and I'm not the daddy. Okay, let's leave that. Protect your family and build a hedge about your family and watch out for the lust and the filth on the television and hey, watch out for the music that'll pull you down. Build a hedge. And let me recommend this to you. We're getting close to the end. Hang in there, folks. If I were you as an individual, I would build a hedge about yourself. You know your weakness. Now build a hedge. Not a bridge. Build a hedge. Every Christian under the sound of my voice needs to look yourself right square in the eye and say to yourself, I know your weaknesses. I know what will get you down. I will build a hedge. I'm trying to build a wall between me and wrong. You got to be honest with yourself. Build a hedge. Is your weakness a credit card? Is your weakness alcohol? They'll tell you in Alcoholics Anonymous, we don't even think you ought to go into a bar and have a glass of milk. Well, I know your weakness. Stop trying to be friendly with your weakness. Make your weakness your enemy. Be careful. Be careful. Build a hedge about yourself. Hey, and while I'm here, can I give you some real good marital counsel, some advice? You build a hedge about you. You let your spouse build a hedge about them. But you're going to have to be careful trying to change your husband. You're going to have to be careful trying to change your wife. Mrs. Owens can't change me. I can't change Mrs. Owens. God knows I can't. We tried. Couldn't get her done. But you know something? I've got my hands full with me. And she's got her hands full with her. I know marital counselors that will say, husband tried to change the wife and wife tried to change the husband. I'll tell you this, you better let Jesus change you and you better let Jesus change your wife. That will work. The best way to change your mate is by example. If you want to influence and make an impact on your mate, you say, my mate doesn't love me enough. Well, then show them more love. And let them learn by example. You say, my mate doesn't do it the way I think it ought to be done. Well, you just keep doing it the right way by example. There is power and influence. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. What are we talking about? We're talking about a hedge of thorns, a wall of protection. If your mate ever leaves you, if they ever run off with somebody, you pray that wall of protection. Then, we should be building a wall ourselves. We can build it by inserting kindness into that wall. We build it by handling our finances properly. We build it by having proper and decent and godly conversation. And we build it by keeping the two of us close together, letting nobody, no other relationship come before it. We build it by strengthening our home. We build it by looking at ourselves and trying to keep ourselves within that wall and hedging ourselves up against our own weaknesses and our own inadequacies. I'm finished. But let me say this. Hosea and Gomer, she ran off. He was raising the kids alone. They would come home from school and they'd tell Daddy how the day went. Daddy did the laundry. Daddy made their lunches. And the kids would say, Daddy, is Mama ever coming home? And he would say, I don't know. I'm praying. I'm trying. One day, Hosea was walking through town and they were having a slave auction. As he walked through town, they had all these slaves out there and they would bring them up on a little platform and auction them off. He was trying to hurry home. He needed to get home from work in time to meet the children. As he was scurrying by the slave market in that little slave auction, he thought he saw someone he knew. It was a woman. He said, oh my, there's Gomer. There she is. Oh my, look at the mess she's made of her life. Look at her face. It's so worn. She stooped over. She looked so angry and used and bruised. He said, that's her. That's her, God. That's my wife. She's a slave. The Bible says that they called Gomer up onto the platform and the auctioneer began to auction her off. They began to pull her up. She pulled her arm away from the auctioneer. She would not look up. You could see the pain and the misery and the wear and the tear and the hurt and the pain on her face, but she would not look up. She gritted her teeth in hate and looked at the ground, knowing that a man would buy her and use and abuse her. He said, who will give me blank amount of money? And someone in the crowd said, I'll give it. And Hosea said, that's my wife. I can't let this happen. And he bid. Somebody else bid, and Hosea bid, and went higher, and he bid higher, and the other bid went higher. And she got angrier as she thought, somebody out there is going to use me and hurt me. And I had it better when I was at home. What have I done? They bid, and Hosea bid, and she's not looked up yet. Finally, the auctioneer said to the gentleman in the back, going once, going twice, sold. Hosea went up. He paid the money. The auctioneer said, sir, take your merchandise. She had not looked up. The veins in her face and neck were sticking out. She knew the abuse she was about to face as a slave, a woman sold into whoredom. She stood there with all the muscles in her body tensed up. And Hosea's tender hand touched her arm. And he said, baby, it's me. We're going home. She looked up and she said, oh, you bought me. He said, I would buy you 100 times over. I've been waiting. I already have a place set for you at the table. I do it every day. Take my hand. Let's go home. She said, I'll go. And you want me back? He said, when I told you I loved you, I meant it. And they walked off into the distance. Can you imagine the reuniting with the children in that night? The hedge of thorns about a marriage. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.